This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here's Lance Zierlein and Adam Wexler and Dell with you here on The Bench. Well, Forrest Whitley said he was sorry. Forrest Whitley, the Astros, their top pitching prospect in the minors. He was recently suspended for 50 games without pay for violating the MLB's drug prevention and treatment program. Astros top prospect Forrest Whitley apologized on Twitter. He said, "I want to personally apologize to everyone I've affected from what happened. It's an incredibly unfortunate situation that will never that I will never forgive myself for. Nobody's more disappointed than I am. I've affected countless people through this, and all I can do is apologize." So the Astros selected Whitley out of San Antonio Alamo Heights High School, 17th pick of 2016 draft, a game of bonus worth $3.14 million. We'll see. Have you seen him throw at all?
Yes. He's one of the guys that works over at DST Performance. Alex Bregman works out over there, a bunch of other minor leaguers for the Astros
here?
And several. Yeah, here in town.
Who's DST?
Dynamic Sports Training and Performance.
Is there somebody
Correa
that we
works,
know?
Somebody that we know. I know all the
who
guys
runs
now.
It? No, I mean, who runs it?
Kevin Poppy's one of their directors.
Some What's of the, his background?
He's a trainer. What do you mean?
Well, I didn't know if there was like a former major
leaguer. Oh, he's not. Not that I'm aware of that he's a former major leaguer, but they have two facilities here in town, and he was over at one of the ones when I was doing a story on Bregman, so I had a chance to see him and talk to him there. I've talked to him a couple times this offseason. My understanding, and I don't know this for a fact, is it's not one of the reporters in San Antonio that I think knows him well thinks it's not a performance enhancing substance. It's more along the lines of he took something he just shouldn't have. He suggested it was he was trying to stay up on a road trip, had gone to a game and was coming back and was trying to stay up and took Adderall, Ritalin, something like that. But again, it does leave a lot of room for question about, well, second positive, why is it a 50 game suspension?
Exactly.
And you know, those kind of things. But you know, and listening to what Jeff Luhnow had to say, it very much jibed with how Forrest addressed it. And I don't suspect this will be a problem moving forward. I think it happened now. He figured
that's a pretty scary.
It is
to have a 50 already is pretty scary.
It probably also doesn't stunt his path to the Astros in any way.
You don't think so?
No, he's 50 games. It's 8-9 starts.
Well, what stunts it is Charlie Morton dealing last year.
What stunts it is they've got eight
they
starting
Gary
pitchers.
Cole. Yeah,
I mean, come on.
What stunts it is the Astros aren't going to want to start his clock too soon. That's what will stunt it. Let's get Chuck in here. Chuck wants
shortest
to,
wait time.
Shortest
Chuck.
Wait time in the business. It's Chuck. What's up, Chuck?
Guys, what's going on, man? I just got a couple comments for y'all, and I want y'all to respond
yeah.
to them. One, I think Houston's about to be in the golden age of maybe even the next title town. Two, I got a total fixture for the NCAA. I think they need to lift all restrictions, go straight capitalism, let the shoe companies, boosters, and agents fight it out. Nobody's going to lose any money in the NCAA. Go to the NBA, tell them to lift their restrictions to 2 years. Forget the farm system. Now we don't have to pay nothing. And can we get more Del Ole on the air? My God, he's only on for 6 hours. There's no more oversaturation to Del Ole.
He just added you on the radio, Del.
That's fine. I tuned out when he started with his original nonsense, so I didn't really hear what he said. Let's be clear here. For most people, when Chuck started rambling, everyone tuned out. So I don't think anyone heard what he said about me.
The one thing that is a little puzzling to me is that everyone seems to forget, like, the NCAA, it is at its core. Like, you can't change. This is not a minor. It is a minor league system. You can't treat it like a minor league system because the entire structure, the sports part of it, no matter what we think, is a much smaller part of what the entire entity is, which is the university. But in our world, it's everything. In the actual world, it has its place, Now, granted, it's play, and because the money is almost separate from the universities, it really has turned into professional organizations. That's the weird thing about this. You still have
there's
to function.
There's so much money.
But some it's not a professional organization. Like mid-majors in basketball, they're not professional organizations at all.
Because there's not so much money.
Yeah. But Alabama is like the Yankees of football, right? Or at least what we think of with the evil empire, and they're able to get so much better talent because they're able to afford it. I mean, they're able to recruit it. So you have all of this, but by the same token, all of college football isn't that way. All of basketball isn't that way, but it's getting more and more like that. So until you cut it all out, or until you start to have very harsh penalties, you're always going to have the instances of where teams are, anytime you have people who are in competition against each other, when in the world, in any life, in anything ever, have people not tried to get an advantage? In sports, whether it's PEDs.
Easy with the shortcuts and the cheating. I'm not about that life.
PEDs, I don't want to. This is, in the business world, there's so many.
The bigger the monetary prize, the more you're likely to do it.
Ponzi schemes, that's all. Greed and the desire to come out on top is always going to drive people to do stuff illegal. That is never going to change ever. Ever.
Well, it's like a lot of other things. You're right. It's never going to change, but it shouldn't prevent you from attempting to make it harder to do.
Yes. No, and I agree with you. I'm not a fan of just letting everything in like apparently Chuck was. Chuck's whole thing was, let's lift all restrictions and let's get rid of Dell.
I thought
that's what his thing. That's what his whole thing was.
He didn't say get rid of me. Apparently, I'm on
too much. I felt like that's what he said is less Dell. Get rid of them.
I will say, Chuck, if it makes you feel better, I'm only getting paid for 4 hours.
No, you don't. You don't work free. Do you? You
might. I don't work. I wouldn't say I work free, but when they added the 2 hours, it's not like they're like, here.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like you're paid like an NCAA basketball player? At a mid-major?
See, no, because I don't feel like I'm Marvin
not
Bagley.
Not like a Kentucky. No, I'm not calling you a Duke or a Kentucky player.
No, I feel like I'm being underpaid because I feel like I'm Jaquan Newton,
okay,
the dude who made the three last night for Miami. Yeah. I feel like I'm that guy, yeah, who was a 4 or 5-star recruit out of Philly, but not like a guy who would go to Duke. He was like one of those lower-level 4-stars who was Miami could get as opposed to
you
Duke.
You don't feel
being
more like a 3-star, like more the, of a 3-star,
no,
now?
I don't feel like that.
Well, do you feel like, say, for hypothetically, Lance and John, do you feel like they treat you like you're the 5th-year senior who gets to dress for the final game of the year? And you get put in the game when it's a 20-point margin,
no,
and everybody's wanting you to shoot the ball at the end of the game.
No, I don't feel like that.
Okay,
yeah,
I don't feel like I'm treated like that.
No.
I do feel like I'm listening, or I work with two coaches who are past their prime. The game
they
is,
have old school ideas.
The
they
game
think
is
it
passed,
still works.
The game has passed them by.
Yep.
Yes.
The ratings disagree.
Hate analytics. Won't embrace it. No.
These two. Yeah.
Dell's got something he created called Hate-alytics. Where it's a certain amount of hate over replacement hate. It's a little formula he's working
on.
Yeah,
John's win share, and that's like 40.
John's got a pretty high win share.
His wins over replacement, I'm sure, are very high.
Hey, let's break it right here. Coming up next, Brandon Caldwell is going to join us. He is a writer here in Houston, a lot of different publications. We're going to talk about your Houston Rockets with him. I want to tell you about Gulf Coast Chevy. Yeah, my Jose Altuve.
I mean, they've done some
stuff.
They
cut it up. Okay.
We got a special thing as we go to break.
Okay. So when I'm done telling you about Gulf Coast Chevy, I want you to know that there's something very special.
Don't say like, oh, we're going to go to Jose Altuve. People will hear it and like, oh, there's Jose Altuve.
Yeah. I won't even tell you. You're just going to have a little surprise at the end of this.
Yeah.
Now, the surprise right now is that there's a classic car show coming up where Best in Show and the Fans Choice has got a chance to win $500 a piece. And you can get a plaque or a trophy. This is at the Classic Car Show that's coming up March 10th, but you've got to get registered by this weekend. So make sure that you're registered by March 3rd for your chance to go compete in this Classic Car Show. And when I say classic car, it's any kind of car. Whatever your car is, if you think your car is just so dope that you got a chance to win, or you just want to show it off and have some fun, they would love for you to come down on March 10th to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to the website, GulfCoastChevyBuickGMC.com, and you can register there. You can also check out all the cool cars that they are selling, whether it's pickup trucks like the Crew Cab, Texas Edition, or the GMC Acadia where they have thousands off MSRP, or maybe it's the Chevy Traverse, which is what I'm driving, and a crossover vehicle that I absolutely love. SUVs, crossovers, cars, pickup trucks, they have you covered. And yes, Classic Car Show, just pick up, just you and your kids if you want to, you and your buddies, go down and see some of these awesome cars on March 10th. For more details, go to the website, GulfCoastChevyBuickGMC.com. And when you're there, tell them Lance Zierlein sent you by.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Hi, guys. This is music getting ready to play. No. Okay. Awkward. 8:19. Here on the bench, 97.5 ESPN. We appreciate you listening. Lance Zierlein and Adam Wexler with you today, along with Dell. Some of you can't tell the difference between Adam and Dell, apparently, according to Dell, because Twitter is saying that. So, Dell, I need you to go ahead and identify yourself before speaking. That might help people.
I would do that, but we do have a guest, so we'll do that in the next segment. Right, by the way, that was Dell who just spoke.
Yeah, that's Dell. That's Dell. Dell's the producer. Let's get Brandon Caldwell on right now. He is a local writer, writes locally, writes nationally. And a very funny tweet that I was like, I got to get Brandon on the show. Had something the other day. This has got to be the first time. I have never seen this happen until Utah and Houston. The whistle blew at the end of the game. Wex, I know you saw it too. And Craig Ackerman said, I don't know. There's a whistle there, and I'm not sure it's a turnover.
5 seconds. Oh, what did he step out?
Yeah,
what
I thought
here?
He had to step. I had to search it back. And Brandon, you picked up on it. Chris Paul, at the end of the game, you know you got rolled if you're the Utah Jazz, if the Rockets turned it over because the point guard is high-fiving the MVP's mama on the sideline, and they call it an out-of-bounds violation because he is inbounds dribbling a ball at the time.
Now, I've seen, like, hot-dogging showing up, but that's another level of disrespect that I don't think the Utah Jazz have even, like, truly prepared for. Like, the moment it happened, they kind of stopped and say, wait, what just happened? Did Chris Paul really just dab up James Harden's mama, like, on the side? Like, we're down. Look, we're losing to these guys, and they're already down four players. Like, they can't get more disrespectful. But when you have a winning streak and you basically won the entire month of Black History Month, you can do whatever you want.
That's what it is. They won Black History Month. They did that. They had four guys down. They shot 27% from three. James had more turnovers than assists for the first time in a long time. I don't know. Maybe the first time all season. I don't know. And they still beat. And they were down. Oh, you mentioned this too. And they were down like 14 at one point and had a 25-26 point turnaround. That's how bad it was on the Jazz's home court.
Yeah. All due respect to JaVale McGee and the other bozos in the NBA. This is the all-time Shacting a Fool. The greatest in-game turnover of all time.
Yeah, but you know what? You take it because that's something I'd like. I'd almost, Brandon, like this to become a thing. Where the Rockets, instead of running the clock out like the last second, they high-five somebody on the side and get the catch a turnover with 4 seconds left in every game. Just
it's
turn
the
it
new,
into their thing. Yeah.
Instead of taking the 24-second violation and the turnover your team doesn't want because you know you're not supposed to shoot it, just high-five someone in the crowd, preferably the MVP's mom.
Yeah, preferably. Like, I mean, to a point, like they're going to get back to, I think, what, their first home game back is against Boston Friday, right?
Saturday night.
So why not dap up Andre Johnson after you beat the Celtics by 10?
Yes.
Or Arian Foster? Like, just pick any random celeb in the crowd. Just dap them up.
Baseball's got celebrity throwing out the first pitch, or whoever it is throwing out the first pitch. Somebody they designate to bring attention to. How about have that sitting right there courtside
The Rockets
game.
Have the first shot. They bring a celebrity out to raise money for charity or right. athlete or whoever it might right. be. And then they need to have it at the end of the game, the celebrity high five, where mm-hmm. in-game, before it's over, they're the designated person to receive the high five from James Harden or Bamute, whoever they want to dribble the clock out and earn the that's what they need to do. They need to be
like
cognizant
that.
Of the turnover, though. So let Ryan Anderson be the clock dribbler.
What's that?
I think Gerald Green needs to be the guy to do the celebratory dap, because every team has a dap master, right? And even though D'Antoni has to figure out what he's doing with his roster and the rotation, like, Gerald Green is perfect for that role. Like, he came in as about as Houston as it gets, from having his hair braided to basically carrying his Jordans. That he doesn't even have, I don't even think he has a shoe deal. He carried his Jordans into the building.
Ooh, I guess you didn't hear the news. It's not Jordans anymore. He just signed a multi-year deal with Adidas. That's what Black History Month did for him. Actually, he got hot in January. Actually, to be fair, he got hot in January. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, Gerald Green, the dunk contest, Gerald Green? The guy that I saw the videos during the flood? Like, Gerald still plays? Isn't he in China somewhere? Gerald just came off the bench and hit 7 trays one game. And that's when I knew. I was like, ooh, this season's different.
See, and I think I had that exact same feeling when it came to the Astros, because I think I was talking to, who was it, George Young on Twitter. Yeah. That's a shameless plug. Mm-hmm. We were trying to figure out, like, when was the moment that you kind of knew that the Astros season was different, and we both pointed towards the insane comeback on Memorial Day, in which the Astros put up, what, 11, 12, 13 runs in the eighth?
Oh, yeah. And then they started putting up those kind of, and then you never knew when you'd catch 7 runs in one inning. They did that on the regular.
Exactly. And now I think we pointed right back to the time when, weren't they down like double digits to Minnesota, and then they hit 10 threes in the fourth to put that game away?
Yeah. Was that the team?
I don't remember if it was double digits. Yeah, they had 10 threes in the fourth quarter of a team they've now blown out 3 times, beating them by 18 points
all three times. Supposed to be the hot young team.
Yeah, one of the best teams in the West.
And then you can't beat the Clips. They play the Clips tonight, by the way. Brandon, you're uniquely positioned to answer this question for me. It's a concept I brought up previously. I reiterated it the other day on the radio. I think it would work. Baseball. We already know that in soccer and in tennis, they've got, you know, they've got it basically computerized where they can tell you instantly whether a shot is in or out. They've got the goal line technology for soccer goals, whether something scored or not. We've got Quest Tech for baseball, where they can tell you whether things are strikes or balls or not. Eventually, the umpires are going to go. We're going to want to get everything right. Eventually, the umpires are going to go. But I don't want to lose the flavor of the umpires. I suggested bringing holograms in as official first base, third base umpires, home. The same thing we talked about, dapping people up on the sideline for the Rockets games. Have Jadeveon Clowney as the home plate umpire, where he's a hologram calling strikes and balls. And, you know, he has to pre-record stuff. You can get celebrities doing it. You can get music acts. You can have Travis Scott could be the first base ump one time. Like, James Harden could be calling balls and strikes. I think they're so – robots are taking over anyway. Let's at least humanize the robots. That's my thing.
Yeah, I think that's an insane idea, and I think it also would work.
Yes.
And the reason why I think it would work is because the greatest umpiring that we've ever seen, whether it be television, film, or in baseball, is Leslie Nielsen and the Naked Gun.
Right. Yeah.
So, but then everybody would be trying to chase Leslie Nielsen. And do you know how awkward it would be if, like, say, well, I don't think AJ Hinch would probably try to get into a big argument with a hologram. I'd probably say that for Aaron Boone or Dave Roberts, you know, somebody like that. But could you just imagine somebody trying to dust up with a hologram and just swinging wildly?
Swinging wildly, trying to chest bump, these guys?
Okay.
What would you do? Who are you kicking dirt on?
Okay, well, then you could have James Prince as a home plate umpire in Houston one night. Now, a lot of the Astros fans are not going to know James Prince, but I'll bet you Dave Roberts doesn't run up on James Prince at home plate umpire hologram. I bet that doesn't happen.
No one runs up on James Prince. Like,
Rap-A-Lot Records, James Prince, by the way.
You just don't do it. You kindly walk up, you have a gentle conversation, you address that man as Mr. Prince, and then you go on about your business. Like, you could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Even if you're right, you're still wrong. So no, just don't do it.
See, Minnesota could bring Prince back, and you got Prince, and it would be a great, like, oh my gosh, it's great to see Prince. We've seen the Tupac hologram. I feel like there's so many different directions
the week ago with having celebrity holograms, because eventually you're going to want to get balls and strikes right anyway. Umpires are going to get forced out. So I don't know. I'm just ahead of the curve with the branding and marketing concepts. That's all. I mean, y'all can have it. I just want a little finder's fee, Major League Baseball. That's all I'm saying. 828 here on the bench, Brandon Caldwell's with. What have you written lately? What are you into right now? Because your music, your pop culture, your sports, you do a lot of this, a lot of that, not just Houston based. What are you looking at lately?
Right. It's been kind of funny. I've been in a transition phase in terms of like writing. I think the last big thing I wrote was recapping the best Houston rap albums of 2017. And then I've been doing like spot things here and there, like reviewing Black Panther and just taking into account of what's going on with the orange guy in the White House. But, you know, other than that, it's been pretty chill.
What did you
think?
What did you think of Black Panther? How'd you like it?
Let's just say this. I paid IMAX money Sunday to see it again. And I would see that movie about 9 times if I could.
Are you a Marvel comic guy?
I am. Okay. I am. But I see Black Panther as just it works best if you don't think of it as a Marvel movie, but just as a standalone coming of age film. Mm-hmm. And like your whole kind of your concept of how you appreciate the film kind of like deepens in a sense, right? Because there's so many things in there, whether it be culturally or an action standpoint or just drama. Like, the best Marvel movies are the ones that make you think outside of the box and make you think that, oh, well, you know, this is more than just your basic run-of-the-mill superhero movie. So Black Panther making all this money and pretty much about to obliterate almost every box office record known to man, mm-hmm. I wasn't shocked, because I think a large segment of the population, whether it be comic book fans or just fans who kind of got into Black Panther solely because of Civil War, they literally just said, we're anticipating this movie. Like, we don't, I say Infinity War can come, Solo can come, any other summer blockbuster can come, but we're waiting on Black Panther. And the numbers pan out. Like, no, like, every studio estimate said this movie was going to do like 120, 130 million. And everyone I knew and everyone that was invested into this film said, no, you got to keep going up.
No, that was tone deaf if they really believed that. If they didn't realize. Yeah. You could check Twitter. You could gauge Twitter and see that everyone was going to go, whether it was a good movie or not. And then the reviews came out, and reviews have been very, very positive. I want to ask you real quick before we let you go. So Michael B. Jordan, who is in Black Panther, by the way, obviously. This is a guy who's done Fruitvale Station, critically acclaimed, Creed, critically acclaimed, Black Panther now. Is Will Smith dead? Did Michael Jordan take over, Michael B. Jordan take over the role of Will Smith in action movies and beyond action movies as the young come up guy?
Oh, man. I don't know. Even though he has another movie coming out on HBO in May, he's close. He's close, but then also I don't think Will Smith's gone away, because Will Smith is now the king of Instagram. So it's like Will Smith has kind of reinvented himself and just said, you know what, Michael B. Jordan, if you can play not only a great hero but a great villain, you know, the sky's the limit. Plus, you do realize, like, Marvel has it. Like, if you're the Human Torch in a Fantastic Four movie, there's always redemption for you at the end of the road.
Yeah, I guess that's always true. Hey, Brandon, man, thanks a lot for joining us here on the show. We appreciate it.
Not a time, Lance. Anytime.
All right. 8:31 here, and he's got – I'll hit you with his – his Twitter account is a little – Brandon, you still there?
I'm still here.
Give people your Twitter account, because it's a little bit different.
Yeah. It's @_BrandoC on Twitter, and if you want to follow me and my random Beyonce-like musing on Instagram, it's BrandoC with no underscore.
Yeah, good stuff. He's a good follow, a lot of fun, and of course he's pretty versatile with what he covers. That's one of the reasons I like following him on Twitter. Thanks a lot, Brandon. We appreciate it.
No problem, Lance.
8:32 here on the bench. When we come back, we'll jump into some stories we haven't covered just yet. And I do want to get into some combine stuff for you guys. I know that the Texans don't have a first or second round pick, but many of you are not just Texans fans. Some of you college football fans, some of you are fans of other teams. So I'll give you some of the things that I'm looking for the combine. I will be there live on NFL Now, the mobile app. You can watch me there, NFL.com. I'll be on the context desk, and you can see some of my work as I work with Matt Moneysmith and Bucky Brooks. And we will have coverage of all the combine for those 4 days.
So when we come back, can I quiz you?
Yeah.
Brian Gain has spoken this morning at the NFL Combine. Okay. You have not heard his comments.
He's already there on
Everybody, almost everybody's talking today. Bill talks this out. I'm going to give you got to go Family Feud style.
All right.
You got to tell me the five things he hit on.
Okay, that's fine. 8:33. I'll do the Brian Gang quiz when we come back. 8:33 here on the bench, 97.5.
You know who it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Back here on The Bench, it's 8:37. Raheel will be coming in soon. Adam Wexler's with me today. If you missed any of this, you can listen to the podcast at podcastarena.com. All the podcasts for all the shows here on the station can be found there.
So I know we're going to hit on the combine, yeah. And I want to get there. I just want to give one quick update. We were talking about the Astros this morning, and A.J. Hinch addressed it today. They had sent Yuli Gurriel back to Houston to have his hand looked at, and Gurriel went to Instagram this morning with we've seen a lot of Astros go this route when they come to Houston, when they go to the hospital, when they're about to have surgery. He posted a picture in advance of a procedure, and A.J. Hinch met with the media this morning and acknowledged, yep, surgery to remove Hammett bone in his left hand this morning. So he's already going to miss the first five games of the season from the MLB-imposed non-World Series suspension that he serves in the regular season. We'll see what the timetable is for his recovery on this. If I'm not mistaken, I think our photojournalist over at KPRC Channel 2, Alex Radow, may have actually captured the swing where he got hurt. Not 100% sure that's what he did and when he did it and the cause for the issue, but just taking swings during a BP session and appeared to have some discomfort in his left hand. Now surgery.
Okay. Just watching Raheel dap up.
Did you want to...
Turnover. He's in play right now. You can't dap him up. It's just like with the Rockets and
that's
Utah.
That's turnover.
No, it's going to be a turnover if you dab me up. And then you would try to dab on me anyway like you always do.
Do you want to go ahead and tell everybody what you think Brian Gain really dug into this morning
now,
at the combine?
Let me tell people how this works. Every head coach and every general manager for every team will speak to the media. It's really one of the cool things. If you get there, I'm not there early enough to see it, obviously, because Wednesday is the day. But they answer questions. I've always felt like Rick Smith was the most open. Gary Kubiak was the most open, for example, when they were there at the combine. And there's a lot of national guys. They get asked questions by people they've never seen before, just people from the Lions.com website or Roster Watch, Alex Dunlap, something like that. So they actually answer questions. Like, I've always felt like Bill O'Brien has been really accessible over there. Now, the head coach is going to speak, I guess. The GM,
2:30 this afternoon.
The Bill GM O'Brien. Already spoke.
Yep. He was the first person in the league.
Haven't read any of this. I haven't seen any of this, so I'll try to answer. I'll try to play this game that you're going to play here.
It's probably pretty obvious, too. You heard him talk here in Houston at his introductory press conference. What do you think were the key things that he spoke about today?
That's a wide-open question.
Well, I don't want to make it too easy.
Is it specific?
Think about who he is, what he might be asked. What did he say today?
I think he talked about maybe his first year on the job as general manager and what he's and no.
If the question here, I'll ask you the question.
All right, go ahead.
What do you need to do to try and improve in your mind when you look at this roster? You've had a time to evaluate your roster now that you've been here. What's number one on your list that you need to do?
Evaluate our own talent.
Well, you've done that. You've evaluated the talent on your team.
I'm
what
trying
do you need
to avoid.
Do?
Is he going to say, I mean, we need to look at the offensive line?
Offensive line is critical. That's number three on the board on our Family Feud. He hit on the offensive line. He said it was critical.
Okay, so he answered questions. Most people do answer questions. I didn't know if he was going to go a different direction. So he talked about the secondary, that they got to get the secondary fixed. Or they've got a, because J-Jo's going to be gone. Kareem Jackson's coming to the end.
J-Jo's going to be gone?
J-Jo is gone.
You're sure?
Right? He's the free agent.
That is accurate. You're sure he's put on a Texans uniform for the last time?
You know, I guess I'm not.
You realize this back to when Dante Robinson was here and they let him go, he was okay. Letting him go wasn't the worst thing in the world.
No.
But then you did nothing to replace him. And losing Jonathan Joseph, not the worst thing in the world. But you at least have to attempt to replace him. So I know they're going to in free agency. I know they're going to in the draft.
Yeah.
Some of these players that were on the field are going to be back because they don't have anybody else.
I think
Or else gone. They would have been on the field already. So, yes, he hit on that. They've made just a small number of transactions since Brian Gain has been here. He was asked about one of them. Which one? And what did he say? It was the most prominent transaction they've made this offseason since he's been aboard.
Most prominent. Did they re-sign somebody?
It's the opposite of re-signing.
Oh, Brian Cushing. Yeah. Oh, he was a great Texan. He was a guy who means a lot to the McNairs. Maybe he echoed what Cal said. Great professional. He'll be missed. His locker room. He's a leadership.
I have a feeling one of the things he said is probably written somewhere in his office. In my 20 years of scouting, I proudly have not enjoyed evaluating a player more than watching Brian Cushing play football. That's what Gain said about Cush.
I could see that. In the early Texan stages, and maybe not now.
It was a very difficult decision to let him go.
No, it wasn't.
He also said that.
Okay.
So one part was good, one part not so good.
Here's what that means. While it was easy to let him go because of the cap figure and his level of play, it was hard to say goodbye. Why can't you just say that? Like, he can't play relative to the money we're paying him, but we really hated seeing him go. That's really what he meant.
Do you think he acknowledged that he has a good rapport and communication with head coach Bill O'Brien?
That was 100% in there. We're on the same page. Did he talk about this? This is one thing somebody asked me about. Here's one of the things that you can expect from Brian Gain as general manager. I think there is going to be a concerted effort to pay attention to physical traits. He is a Bill Parcells guy. Okay? So you know this.
Bill was brought up.
And Bill Parcells believes strongly in bigger, faster, stronger. So the Houston Texans, I fully expect, number one, speed to become a much bigger factor because they're so slow. I think they're going to look for faster and bigger and stronger, and it's going to have an impact. It should have an impact on their special teams units. Should be better because the depth you have will be physical trait guys. But I think the Texans didn't have great plans. There wasn't a cohesive philosophy at play all the time between the offense, on offense or defense. There was to an extent with Gary Kubiak because of the offense was very much a system offense. Defense has just been a kind of a collection of guys, and for the most part, they've landed some pretty good talent. But J.J.O., for example, I don't think you're going to see cornerbacks J.J.O. size anymore. I think they're going to be bigger than Jonathan Joseph.
Gain acknowledged the obvious, just like you said. He said a priority is making the team faster.
Okay, he did say that.
It blows me away, and I think the CJ Fedora was
slow forever.
How did it should never come to that. You should never have to acknowledge unless you got the track team out there and you're unbelievably fast, and you say, well, we even want to get faster. They're so slow, and it's been such a hallmark of a Bill O'Brien roster back to the CJ Fedora draft when you looked at who they picked and you said, great job taking all the slow Big Ten players. Smart. Really works in the NFL. Well, yeah, they're so slow, it's painful to watch.
They are Big Ten drafters.
It's a bad idea.
Devere Posey, Braxton Miller, great. VJ Fedora concussion, great.
Well, that's not a name we should be using.
Well, I mean, Dell.
That's ugly.
You know what? Sometimes late in the show, the truth comes out. Tell the truth. That's what that one doctor said. Well, Will Smith played him.
Oh, I thought you were trying to be my dad again.
No, I'm not trying to be your dad. Tell the truth. It was on a movie.
Concussion?
Yeah, it was a bunch of garbage. None of us liked that movie.
Oh, you're an NFL guy. Yeah. Of course you didn't like the movie.
A bunch of propaganda.
Bunch lies.
Of mainstream media propaganda Hollywood's trying to perpetrate. We don't believe in them.
Leftist media.
8:46 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein, Adam Wexler, Raheel is in the building. And I want to ask Raheel about when somebody just tried to at Dell live on the air.
at 9 o'clock. Raheel doesn't want to punch in. He's busy writing an article. Hey, you can find my Sports Map article at sportsmap.com. I give you offensive linemen that you should be watching if you're a Houston Texans fan, because I will guarantee you that one of those guys will get drafted by the Texans or your money back.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Don't you open up that window. Don't you let...
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lonzo Ball's favorite rapper. .852 on the bench.
So this is the kind of music that gets him crunked to go 4 for 15.
Are we this Lonzo? All the Lonzo Ball hype. Just like we thought that he was a good player, but nah, it's first year. It's first year.
And there's a whole article on CBS Sports about how he's improved. I think he since his initial awful month. I think he's a 41% 3-point shooter.
Yeah, he'll get better. He's not.
He just, has gotten better. As he was saying, yeah. Just within this first season and amidst injury.
But I don't think he's going to be a transcendent player at any point. He might be Paul Pressey with a different
That's
haircut.
Not cool.
Yeah. Point forward. That's what he is. Tall point guard. Now, Paul Pressey would have been a point guard back in the day, but if you're a certain height, then you had to be a forward. That's what he is. Lonzo Ball's just, he's just a rapping version of Paul Pressey.
Why are you hating ass Lance? I know he's not a rocket, but you just gotta crush everybody who's not a rocket. Hating ass Lance Zierlein.
You think he's that good?
I mean, I don't know what he'll be. But,
I think he's solid.
But he's got a shot to be a, I don't know what you consider premier, but a really good point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, I think he could be like an 18-9 type of guy.
Why can't he be a taller Jason Kidd?
That's probably more what he is.
That's exactly who he is.
Probably more. Probably won't. I mean, their styles are different, but the way they play the game is very
creative.
Similar.
Very good court vision. Really good rebounder from the a backcourt position.
Jason Kidd is going to go down in history as kind of a forgotten point guard, and he was a
it's
really good,
what he does now is purposely spill drinks on the court and get fired.
Well, the purposely spill drinks thing is the smart point guard, Jason. That's the coach on the floor. But he literally was the coach on the floor.
It's not as smart as when he purposely ran into Mike Woodson when he was a player and Woodson was a coach.
No, that's not as smart. But Jason Kidd was born to be a point guard. Like, he was that leader. Like, he was. Chris Paul comes from the Jason Kidd school of basketball. And no one will say that.
John Stockton school of basketball.
No. Jason Kidd.
No, John Stockton.
John Stockton
he's
school
John
of basketball.
No, John. And here's why. So he's a better offensive player than Jason Kidd was. Jason Kidd was Jason Kidd was great at delivering the ball. Actually, you know what? It probably is because Stockton had that killer pull up jumper from the free throw line.
Yeah,
their game
it's
really is.
It's not a knock.
Much
it's not a knock,
similar.
By the way. Stockton
no,
is
I knew you were.
Greatest all. He's the greatest passer.
Because Kidd was not a mid level player. He developed into a good shooter. Yeah. Remember when he sucked as a shooter and then became a deadly 3-point shooter? Jason Kidd.
Yep.
You know who else his game is like?
That's Lonzo.
He's more physical, but his game is like he's got some Steve Nash in terms of his game, too.
Chris Paul?
Yeah. In terms of the way he weaves in and out of traffic and can hold it for a long time and still create either shot or pass.
I think Nash's game was more fluid.
No
like
question.
Like he just flowed a lot
no
easier.
No question. Just watch, especially because they're playing in a similar system
it.
Now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nash could dribble 20 seconds through the shot clock, and then in the final three, either he's got a layup or somebody else is going to get a dunk.
Well, I think
Chris Paul's going to dribble 20 seconds off the shot clock and get a fadeaway 11-foot falling away for the basket jumper that catches nothing but nylon because he's brilliant
at it.
Well,
that's his new. Now we're catching him towards the ender.
Sure.
But he's later stages of his career.
But he hasn't really changed. He's not playing any differently than when he was not winning big with the Hornets and when he was not winning big with the Clippers. Now he's playing similarly and he's going to win big here.
No one's going to win big. Why did that become a story last week? And like, were they just looking for a story? If Boogie Cousins were healthy, would they be the best team in the West? Like,
he was healthy, and they weren't the best team in the West.
I know. They act like last year didn't exist. F-O-H.
I mean, not Lonzo, but Anthony Davis has played really well since Boogie is
since
gone.
He was gone, yeah. And he played really good before Boogie came.
Yeah, but now in terms of now that he's not on the floor, Anthony Davis has taken his game to another level.
I know.
And where are the Pelicans? They're solidly in the playoffs
They're
now.
They're fifth right now.
Yeah, they've bumped way up.
Yeah.
Since Boogie. Imagine that. And then Sacramento.
Yeah, but it's nothing close to what the Boogie Wizards are doing without John Wall.
Dude.
They cannot lose. They're having 30-plus assist games left and right. And people are just, as always, when stars go out, nobody ever wants to say, well, I'm not saying they're better without John Wall. Well, yeah, they are. I mean, it's okay to say it. It's happening. We're watching it. They're playing better basketball without him than they were with him. It's okay to say it. Use your eyes, or human eyes, as we say on this program.
Yes, your human eyes. Now, there's never been a doubt about LeBron or Harden as two guys who, or Kawhi Leonard. Like, those guys, those teams clearly are not better.
45 minutes ago, I think you said, hey, Kawhi Leonard's coming back. Does that have you guys worried at all? I didn't hear anything, so I'm assuming that means that everyone is smart, and the answer was no.
I'm not. But it was also easier for me to say, I don't even care if he does come back, even though he's not supposed to come back. And now that he is probably going to come back, I had to like stop and just say, okay, now I'm not like, this doesn't bother me at all. Right. Like it did make me stop just for a second when it became a real thing. I did say, I don't care. Right? I don't care.
Yeah. It just makes it more likely that that's a team you'll see in the playoffs and that probably makes them clearly the third best team. But they're just simply not as good as you are.
They're not, and we have not seen the Spurs, this iteration of the Spurs, with a healthy Kawhi. We've only seen it for 9 games. So I don't know what they are, but we can just look at the rest of the roster and assume. And then again, we looked at the rest of the roster last year and assumed, and James decided he didn't want to play basketball in Game 6. Now, we imagine that won't be the case this year, and he has Chris Paul, and the roster is constructed much differently. But the Spurs are just like a cockroach. I mean, if they're around, you're concerned, and you hope someone else takes care of them so you don't have to.
Well, that's because teams are stupid, and when the stupid Spurs cockroach is laying on its back with his legs wiggling everywhere, they don't step on him.
It's like Franz Kafka.
Just end it. Smash him. Clean your shoe off.
Somebody needs to
go about your business.
Chunk of apple somewhere in their side and let them die. Because the Spurs are the nuclear roaches. They never... Tony Parker. I thought we were done with all those. I thought they were all retiring.
But now you want them on the court because they stink.
Yeah. Yeah, they stink.
More Tony, more Manu.
You remember when Manu pulled something out of his ass a couple of years ago? Like, hey, I thought Manu was done.
Way back when he blocked James Harden's shot.
Yeah,
all the way back to last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And it turned into the NBA logo. Yeah.
It's all good until a guy named Bryn Forbes is making threes on you in the playoffs.
Yeah, they just pull guys out of nowhere that you don't even know. Oh, look at this. It's Patty Mills. I remember when the Irishman Patty Mills came aboard about 5 years ago and was draining threes.
Australian.
I know, but it's funner.
Or Jamaican, according to that Cleveland
Jamaican,
fan.
A Cleveland fan was telling him, go back to your bobsledding team.
It's the same guy who called Dell and told Dell, stop talking.
Whoa, you got hit up.
He called it oversaturation.
Yeah, he called Dell Mr. Oversaturation.
And I told him he should feel good. I'm only getting paid for 4.
I'll tell you about Bill Advisor. Here's something you can do, Dell. You want to save money? You want to start making that, stretching that money out, stretching the dollar out, then go to my friend Lanny from Bill Advisor. Lanny joins us right now because Bill Advisor just got done saving me more. Not only did I save $2,000 over the first year, but Bill Advisor just yesterday, I switched home and auto. I got 50% more coverage on my home than I had previously. It was $500 less. And I just switched my car insurance. That was about $100 savings. But you know what? I like money. So I'll take that $100. So now we're add $600 onto the tab, Lanny. You guys just saved me again.
Well, you know, Like, that's what we do. And your story, LZ, is exactly the same as everyone else's. You sign up for something, the rate's good, you stick with it, you understand that over time it's going to go up and you're going to pay more. Stop paying more. That's what we fix here.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing right now. You've got big winners. And I'm always blown away by how you guys save. For different people, it's different things. Like some of the savings, you had one that's over, it was like $1,100, $1,200. And it was on a variety of bills. And then other people on energy bills can save $3,000. Like, it's crazy how everyone has different needs.
No, it's exactly right. And look, and for many customers, you'll come through and we'll work on everything for you. TV, internet, cell phone, home and auto insurance, electricity. You know, some folks, hey, I have who I have and I'm very happy. Great, we're going to go negotiate a better rate for you. If you don't like what you're paying on your home insurance or you just think it's too high because you bought it from your cousin's brother's former roommate, well, you know what? He's probably making money instead of you putting money back in your pocket. We're going to fix all that for you.
Guys, all you have to do to start saving is text bills to 313131. It's easy. You text them, they text you back, you get this thing rolling, you get them your bills, and the first three bills, if they don't save you $150, you get your $150 and an Amazon card on top of that. Go to the website at billadvisor.com to find out all about that, or text bills to 313131 and get started in cutting your bills way back and putting that money back where it belongs in your pocket. Lanny, thanks for the work that you guys have done for me and the city of Houston over there, Bill Advisor.
Hey, thank you, LZ. Take care, bud.
Preach on, brother.
We ready?
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now, this is top notch.
Download today.